Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For many of us, this time this time of Advent, and as we get ready for Christmas, we think that it should be the easiest time to focus then on Christ. But often what happens is it ends up being the hardest. It could be one of the hardest times to focus on Him. And why is that? Because our calendars often get pretty full at this time of year. We have a lot more activities that we need to go to. We have shopping that we got to do. We have all kind of parties maybe that you have to go to. There can be end of year kind of stresses that just happen that have nothing to do with Christmas. It could be a stressful time of year, and that stress can creep its way into our heart. Christmas then, as it comes, it just kind of seems like it catches us in a vortex of stress and anxiety and spits us out on the new year, and we feel defeated. And so we might wonder, here at the beginning, can this year be any different? Can it be any different? Well, the church has this ancient practice that we call Advent. It's often lost, Advent is. It kind of gets forgotten, even in churches that follow a church calendar like ours. Advent, it's this season that can help us deal with these competing forces in our lives. And so Advent, so even churches that don't celebrate a church calendar, right? There's a group that's started this movement. They call it the Advent Conspiracy. Advent Conspiracy. Maybe you might have heard of this. And you might say, what's the conspiracy of Advent, right? That makes it sound like it's radical or revolutionary. Well, it is. I mean, Advent is pretty revolutionary. Advent can be very dangerous. Because see, at the end, all there really is this one season, and it's the season of Advent. Advent. Advent is the time of waiting. Waiting. It's a time of delay. It's a time of dealing with disappointment and pain and suffering. And that's all held in tension with the promise of a future glory. And so Advent is rebellious. It's rebellious. Because the world around us, sometimes even the church, might want us to ignore all of that, to ignore all the pain of the moment, and even to ignore the promise of God's coming glory. It's rebellious as we bear witness to what is now, to what has come, and to what we wait for. It's countercultural as it reorients our hearts back to Christ, and letting go of those things, even maybe well-intentioned things, that take our focus away, distract us from God, and to embrace instead this wondrous moment of Christ as He enters into our world to make everything right, to see Him present in this moment, and to long for His return. And so together we're going to explore kind of four themes, four principles, four commitments, we might say, during this season. The four are, we will worship fully, we will spend less, we give more, and we love all, right? And so worship fully, that is, it starts with Jesus, right? It ends with Jesus. Right. Advent is this time where we remember that peace reigns because Jesus is King of this universe, and we will celebrate that with every breath that we take. That we will commit to spend less, not that we don't spend anything, but that we spend less, is that we know that mindless consumption is not the way to celebrate our Savior. And then we give more. We give more of our time. We give more of our presence. We give more of ourself. We will be people that give of ourself, relationally to other people, because that is the way of Jesus, as God gave His Son. And then we love all. Jesus loved. He loved in ways that was never expected, never could have possibly be imagined. We love all because we have first been loved. And we believe that the hurting of this world will be reached, will only be reached by God, by the way that we celebrate as we wait. So today we begin with a story that we often think is connected to Palm Sunday. But that's how Advent begins. That's how it begins. It begins with this kind of, always this reading of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And we might think, well, why not, you know, the story of, you know, Jesus' birth? Why not, you know, those kind of things? Why not the shepherds and some donkeys and the angels and wise men? Right? Isn't this Christmas? Well, see, no, it's not, right? It's not even pre-Christmas, okay? This is, it's a season of Advent. It's a time of waiting. It's a reminder to us that we are living in an in-between time. The time between Jesus coming as Messiah and the time that he comes again. Advent is this announcement to the world that hope has come. And so we hear today Jesus coming as a king. He comes in as a king, and that is very fitting to the beginning of Advent. The people are seeing Jesus come as a king into Jerusalem, and they are, in this reading it tells us they put their cloaks down on the road. The other gospels tell us that they cut down palm branches and laid those on the road and waved them and shouted. And they were praising God and singing songs. How often do you, in your life, do you ever just burst into song? Anyone ever let that, you know, just kind of, you're going about your life and just all of a sudden, a song comes out. Maybe a handful of you, all right? How many of you wish that your life was like a musical, right? You wish your life was like a musical, you know, singing and dancing. It just kind of comes out of nowhere, it feels. That it's like that there's so much emotion, there's so much that you feel to express, and that words will not do it justice. Maybe some of you are like that, and God bless you. Right? The rest of me, at least me. Maybe some of you think, maybe my voice is not so good, or it's not so worshipful. Maybe you've been burned out on it. Maybe you've been burned out by life. Maybe you are kind of cynical, and nothing inspires you, and you just kind of keep your head down. Maybe you think nothing is new. I've seen it all. There's nothing great really in life anymore. But here's the thing. We are all made to worship. We are all made to worship. The Bible tells us that eternity was written in our hearts. And that makes sense because many of us are looking. We're looking for something more. Looking more than just all of this. Not that any of this is bad. Not any of the physical things that we deal with is somehow that we want to leave it, but we just know that there's more than this. There's more than all of this. And that's hardwired into us. And so we do look for things greater than ourselves. And if we do not give it voice, Jesus says that the very stones will cry out. The stones will sing. That's part of what we're looking for every day, right? And Advent is a helpful reminder for us, is that this is what we are looking for every day. But especially at this time of year, because it is part of who we are. Worshiping God is the one thing that will deal with the ache that we have. Worship is the one thing that deals with our longing. That sense that I am missing something. Worship will help us have a different Christmas. Worship will change every day for us. As we get in tune to what God is doing, we must worship. We just can't stop from worshiping. For our life to be different, we got to get back to worship. And that is not just that I got to get back and be here at 8 o'clock or something, okay? It's I got to get back in tune. I get back in tune to what God is doing, to celebrate what he is doing, to celebrate not wonderful achievements of a congregation, but to celebrate the very healing power of God, that God builds up his church with broken and beaten people like you and me. We celebrate his healing work. The Advent season is a time of waiting, to deal honestly with our disappointment, our brokenness, our suffering, and the pain of the whole world. We hold that intention with that promised future glory. And that will not only change Christmas, it changes every day, because every day is an Advent day. Every day is a day of waiting. Every day we have to deal with this question: where is God? Where is he? We hear of Jesus riding into Jerusalem as king, but where is he now? Where is he now? And we kind of fall into hiding this question by creating kind of fantasies in our minds. You know, how much time do we spend right now trying to cover that question? How much money is spent by the world to cover up that question? How much energy do we put in to try to cover up that question? This is what Advent refuses to do. It refuses to do that. Advent is not for the faint of heart. Advent is for people who are waiting for God to come into the darkness, waiting on the promise, despite all the evidence that points another way, that there is a God who does care. There's a God who is king. And so as we long to maybe change our experience of Christmas, we get back to the source of our celebration, to that healing power of the cross. When we worship, we're recognizing that I don't have it all together, that my life might be falling apart, and that's okay. It's okay because I worship a God who does have it all together. I worship a God who is in charge, and I am just overwhelmed by his love. But how does that really work? How does it work in the real world? Well, sometimes we worship, to be honest, we worship God because we feel like it. You feel like it. And life is good, and life is wonderful, and you can't help but sing, right? And songs of joy that you want to sing. And it can feel easy to worship. It can feel easy to praise God. But the truth is that sometimes, maybe even many times, you do not feel it. You don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes our heart aches, and sometimes plans don't come together. Sometimes our questions rage, and we are so profoundly aware of our own unrighteousness and our own corruption. The prophet Habakkuk gives us an example of this kind of worship. He says, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." You see, sometimes I'm going to worship. Right? I'm going to worship God. I will praise him even if I do not feel it. Because one day, God willing, I will. I will feel it. And it might not be in this life, but one day I will feel like shouting for joy. Sometimes we start into a life of faith and our life is messy, and it just does not get like straightened out just because I become a Christian and I'm still dealing with a messy life. Sometimes we are crying and longing and we are in pain. But if we keep pursuing God, he meets us, and he will speak to you in ways that we do not expect. There are times in my life that I do not feel like worshiping. I do not feel like praising God. But I worship, and I confess that I am not. I am not God. And those are the moments God comes close and says, "No, you're not." And I am. I still have this covered. I have not forgotten you. I am still the God of this universe. I still am king. I'm the one who redeems you with my own blood. Sometimes we worship because we just have to. Sometimes it's because my life falls apart and the bills pile up. But nevertheless, I worship. I worship and I praise not from victory, not from prosperity, but from defeat and from dread. We see this so clearly when Jesus, born as a little baby, seems so nice and wonderful, but he is destined to go to the cross. And as he goes to the cross, he praises God along the way. In the midst of his suffering, he praises God. That is our worship. Our worship comes from a place of defiance and trust. It's a bold refusal to let the trouble of this world that surrounds us be any bigger than the God who comes to meet us. We worship not just because we might feel it, but because I need to. And so some say, okay, well, you don't never heard me sing, right? And so I sing only in the shower, or I sing only by myself, right? I sing just in my own heart. My voice is not very worshipful. It's not very good. And okay, fine. That might be true. But Scripture tells us that worship is not simply just singing. It's not simply singing. Worship, more than anything, worship reminds us that this is not all about us. It reminds us that we are not the center of the universe. I'm not the center of this little world. I'm not the center of even my own little life. Okay? I am not. Worship is about more. Paul tells us that worship is, he says, to take your everyday life and offer that as worship. It's your everyday life. That is like you're laughing and you're crying with one another. You're holding another, noticing someone else. It's about a whole bunch of things worship is. And so we want to know, why is this time so important? Why is our gathering together so important? You know, why is it, you know, that we're seeking to call a director of worship? Why would we do that, right? And it's not just about music, see? That's part. It's a big part, to be sure. But see, this time is so important because it gives us an opportunity to do all these other things. It gives us an opportunity to notice one another, to hold one another, to cry with one another, to be laughing with one another and be joyful with one another. This time helps us order our life. This is what will help us deal with our busy schedules. It's what will help us deal with our friends. It's how we'll relate to our families. To shape us and form us, to give us a different kind of life. And so that it would all be then an act of worship. When we worship God with all of our life, then how can I keep from singing, even if it's a little off key? What if we really lived our life as an act of worship? So it's just some things that you might try, right? Try activities to help you worship fully. In the back, you will see there's these little handouts, some things to take home. One is, it says family kit is one, that's this one. And so it's got a page for each of the weeks. And so you might use this as a kind of a devotional to shape that week for you, reflecting upon those themes. So that's one thing you might do, just individually with another person. Here's another one that we have. It's got little cards. You would cut, I'm not going to cut it all out for you, okay? You can cut them out. And so you have these little cards. And so each day, there's one for every day during December up to Christmas. And so, on this first page, it's read a passage from Scripture, from John 8. Or share three things you're thankful for. Another activity might be collect cans to give to our food pantry. Or stay up late and have hot chocolate, right? Right. These are all different ways, right? That are worshipful, ways that can really change our time. So those are all kind of things you might try. You could also just spend time listening to a friend you haven't seen in a while. Invite them over. Call them up on Zoom or whatever, right? If they live across the world, right? Just spend time to listen. How about if you have an Advent wreath or an Advent, like a Christmas nativity scenes, maybe as you set it up, read the Christmas story. That could be a thing to do. To get an Advent wreath, even if it's simple, just, you know, four candles, you know, just set up and light them every day. How about one night you could just unplug from all technology and all social media and just spend time without it? In a noise, world full of noise, be intentional then about your presence. Or you're driving to work, you're in the car, and normally you got the radio on. How about turn it off and just spend time with God giving thanks for the day? Now, worship. Worship is living our lives in this moment. In the announcement that God has come, God is here, and that he will come again with his justice, and his will be done, because he has come, and because he is here. We live with this hope of a new day. So let us rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that we have seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And so then let us lead all of creation in worship so that we might even inspire the stones to cry out. In his name, amen. And now may a peace of God which passes all understanding, may it guard our hearts, our minds in this true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.